I had to sit in awe as I heard what the Lord gave to us through Brother Mike. In the past few weeks, we've had three Christians become Christians. And it wasn't because somebody told them they had to have a certain type of experience. In fact, nobody told them anything. They came to us and surprised us. And I'm so thankful that the Lord directed that message. I have something tonight that's more directed towards the Christians. It comes from Isaiah chapter 40. So if you'd turn with me to Isaiah 40. We'll start reading at verse 21. I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He who sits above the vault of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He it is who reduces rulers to nothing, who makes the judges of the earth meaningless. Scarcely have they been planted, scarcely have they been sown, scarcely has their stock taken root in the earth, but He merely blows on them and they wither, and the storm carries them away like stubble. To whom then will you liken me, that I should be His equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars, the One who leads forth their host by number. He calls them all by name. Because of the greatness of His might and the strength of His power, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, He increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. I'd like to direct our attention tonight to the last four verses here, verses 28 to 31. What glorious verses these are. They are a warning to those who think that they're strong. And they're a great encouragement to those who are weak and weary. And they're a great glory to the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth. I want to consider with you tonight three certainties from these verses here in Isaiah 40. First of all, the certainty of human weakness. And you see that coming out in verse 29. He talks about giving strength to the weary, weariness, and lacking might, lacking power, weakness, weariness and weakness. And verse 30, youths grow weary and tired, vigorous young men stumble badly. So again, weariness, tiredness, stumbling badly. What a picture this is. Human weakness, the certainty of human weakness. About 10 years ago, on a cool July morning, I went up on the roof of one of our rental houses, and I knew that the chimney needed to be torn off, and I started pulling. The bricks were pretty easy to get apart, and I started pulling them off, and I decided, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and shingle this thing right now. And I started in with great gusto tearing off shingles, and I had the whole side of the thing off in a very short time. And actually, it was kind of fun. About 3 days later, when it was 105 degrees, and I was so exhausted that I could hardly make myself put my foot on each rung of the ladder, it wasn't any fun anymore. And I'd have these thoughts like, what if it rains? And then I'd think, I don't care if it does rain. I mean, I had no motivation anymore. What happened? No strength. Weary. Weak. Verse 29 talks about one that lacks might. It's possible to lack might, not to have any might. You think of some of these vigorous young men that it talks about. Here's a young guy as strong as an ox. All it takes is one little stout dose of the flu, and you can knock him over with a feather. I mean, I've had it to where I stood up out of bed and the room went like this, and that was the end of it. You're not going to do anything. And you literally could take the heavyweight champion of the world and knock him flat. He's lost his power. He's lost his energy. It talks in verse 30 again about vigorous young men stumbling badly. I've read about the Bataan Death March. And think of this now. Not women, men. Not old men, young men. Not just any young man, vigorous young men. And vigorous young men get to the place to where they can't even walk. And that's what happened in that march. Why did it happen? Well, it's very simple. They weren't given any food or water. There were something like 70,000 people. Prisoners of war marched for nearly a week, a distance of some 60 miles, without food and water. Now, what am I saying here? We live and operate on a source of energy from outside ourselves. We are created beings. A campfire. You know, you can get warmth from it, heat, light, but you only get it for a little while unless you feed it. The reason your body is warm tonight is because you've got a fire going inside of you. And you've got to keep feeding that fire, not wood, but bread, to keep the fire going, or it'll get cold and be just as cold as that dead campfire. Because we exist on a source of life from outside ourselves. Now, beloved, the Lord Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. In other words, there's an aspect of our lives that cannot stay warm and cannot exist and cannot have energy and strength without getting it from the outside. Only it has to be a spiritual supply coming in from the outside. You have to be sustained and kept alive in the spiritual part of you from an influx from outside yourself. Beloved, do you realize this is a certainty? In yourself, you will get weak and weary and even stumble, and you'll stumble badly. And I don't care who it is or how strong they start out. You just heard this message. What was happening? There was an influx of life from the outside. Because it doesn't come from inside and it can't come from inside. The certainty. We're prone to this weariness and weakness and exhaustion, to running out. In fact, the word exhaustion, what is it? It's using up everything that you've got. And there's nothing left there. And so the Bible continually warns us about weariness. 2 Thessalonians 3:13, but as for you, brethren, do not grow weary of doing good. And Galatians 6:9, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. I think the Authorized says, be not weary in well-doing. Thayer says this about that word, to be utterly spiritless, to be wearied out, and exhausted. Now, isn't this amazing? Even as a Christian, you can become weary, and you will become weary even in doing what's good. I mean, you wouldn't think that would be the case when God makes you a new creation. And you want to do what's good, but amazingly, you'll get worn out even doing what you love to do, what's good. Because God, when He makes us a new creation, He does not make us a positive source of righteousness in ourselves. He makes us so we're utterly dependent upon Him all the time. And that's what the Lord Jesus was saying when He says, "Abide in Me." You cannot bear fruit of yourself. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself. It's got to have this inflow coming into it. And beloved, most of any time that we're experiencing something like that is because we have not been getting the inflow. Luke 18, verse 1. Now, He was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to faint or lose heart. Same word here. This idea of being utterly spiritless, wearied out, and exhausted. You know, you can't even maintain a prayer life on your own. We have that lesson there in the Old Testament when Moses is holding up the rod of God. While the rod is held high, they prevailed. When the rod came down, Amalek prevailed. Haven't you experienced that? You know what it's like to have the rod of God held high and to be walking in the victory. But you can't in yourself even manage to hold that rod up. You've got to have strength from the outside. Hebrews 12:3, "Consider Him lest you grow weary and faint in your minds." Contradiction of sinners wears you out. Daniel 7:25 tells us of one who will speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the Highest One. Malachi 1:13 speaks of those who disdainfully sniff at the service of God and say, "Behold, what weariness." It's possible even to get weary in the service of God and offer a grudging, weary type of service rather than joyful delight in what we're doing for the Lord. May God help us. These things are warnings, and they are they're illustrations of what man will come to in himself, and it's what you and I will come to if we don't wait upon God, if we don't get strength from the outside. It's a certainty. So that's the first certainty. Second certainty is a certainty of divine strength. Now, there's a lot here in this chapter about that. And some of the verses that we didn't read, you go back up in verse 12 of Isaiah 40. "He's measured the waters in the hollow of His hand and marked off the heavens by the span and calculated the dust of the earth by the measure and weighed the mountains in a balance and the hills in a pair of scales." This showed great power here. In verses 15 to 17, "The nations are like a drop from a bucket, are regarded as a speck of dust on the scales. He lifts up the islands like fine dust. Even Lebanon is not enough to burn." So all the way down through here, talking about the greatness of God. Verse 22 through 24, "He sets above the vault of the earth. Its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, stretches out the heavens like a curtain, spreads them out like a tent to dwell in," and so on. So all the way down through here. But there's two verses where He specifically talks about this matter of power as opposed to weakness. Two verses. The first one is verse 26. He says, "Because of the greatness of His might and the strength of His power, not one of them is missing." He's talking about the stars. "Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these stars." The other one is in verse 28 where He says, "The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired." So, we get down here towards the end of the chapter, and He's wanting to talk to us about weariness and tiredness, and He specifically points us up to the starry heavens and the power of God manifested there. And then He specifically says that God does not become weary or tired. Now, let's just look at this a little bit. First of all, verse 26, He says, "Lift up your eyes on high." God Himself tells us to focus our attention on the stars to get some idea of how much power He has. And you know, when you look up at the sky, all the stars that you can see with your eyes are just part of our own little galaxy. Now, I say little galaxy. You know, if you let 1 inch equals 10 million miles, 1 inch, 10 million miles, the sun is about 9 inches away from us. Okay? How close is the nearest star? 40 miles away. That's the nearest one. And that's just our little next door neighbor, and you look back out here and all these other stars. When you look up in the sky and see that Milky Way, what you're seeing is so many millions upon millions of stars that are so far away, it looks like a milky blur. That's our galaxy. Our galaxy is shaped like a pinwheel. And we're out here a little bit on the outside, and when we look up at the Milky Way, we're looking up at the middle of the galaxy. Now, suppose you don't just look up there, but suppose you look out. What do you see out there? Well, you see more galaxies. And they're like our galaxy. And you know what the Big Dipper looks like. You know what the Dipper part of the Big Dipper? If you look through there, you see not a million stars, you see a million galaxies. Through the size of the shape, the hole in the Dipper part of the Big Dipper, a million galaxies. Now, you know, light can travel quite a ways pretty fast. How fast can it travel? Any of you students know? All right. It's approximately 186,000 miles in a second. So it'd go around the Earth something like 7 times in a second. It can go a long way in a day. It can go a long way in a month. And it can go a real long ways in a year. How big is the universe that we know of so far? Well, the radius of it from the center on out is 15 billion light years. There's a lot of stars. The estimate on the stars right now is 10,000 billion trillion. Okay, that's how many stars that they have computed thus far. 10,000 billion trillion. Now, why do I say it like that? Well, because if I use some other number, it'd just be total nonsense. How much is a trillion? Well, here's a million. Now get 1,000 of them. Now you got 1 billion. Now you get 1,000 of those billions, and you got your trillion. Now take 1 billion of those trillions, and then take 10,000 of those. And that's how many stars. Now, what am I getting at here? God directs us to that. He says, listen, I named every one of them. I've got a name for it. And I've got thinking about this. I don't think he's saying it's M1933-4679. I don't think that's the way God... I think he has a name that captures the nature of that specific star perfectly. And he's got a separate name for every one of them. Not only that, he just spoke and created them. He sustains them all by his power, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. How great must that might be? Well, I don't know, but I know this, that whatever you think it is, it's infinitely more than that, because he is omnipotent. He has all power. He is almighty. And you know what? He spoke, and all those billions upon billions upon billions of stars leapt into existence. But here's the thing. He tells us here in the next verse, where he's talking about weariness and tiredness, he says that when he did that, it did not tire him in the least. He was not a little bit, just a tiny, tiny, tiny bit tired by doing that. You know when it says in Genesis that he rested? We shouldn't get the idea he was worn out. You know, he wiped his brow and said, he rested just means he quit doing it. He stopped speaking, creating stuff out of nothing. And he looked it over and enjoyed it. Verse 28, the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. Another place it says that He neither slumbers nor sleeps. He never needs to have His energy replenished. He never needs to have His batteries recharged, because He is the self-contained, self-sufficient One who is. Now, all of these are glorious things, but the amazing thing is that they're said here specifically to us in relation to our weakness. God is the One speaking to us. And you know, when you start thinking about these things, the strongest person in the world is so weak, it's beyond our imagination how weak he is. You talk about these great men of God. There's nobody that's ever, you take the entire world, put everybody together, it's less than nothing. All the nations, all the rulers, they're nothing. It's unbelievable that God would condescend to put up with any of this stuff, isn't it? It's amazing. I mean, the humility of the deity to even talk to us. God was not the least bit tired even when He created the universe. You may be ever so weak. You may be weary. You may be exhausted physically tonight. I don't know if Scott Lee's here. He just came back from Romania. That guy's crazy to even be having meetings. You get exhausted. You may be exhausted tonight spiritually as a believer. You might feel worn out, but God isn't the least bit tired tonight, and He never will be. He is, and He will forever remain, an infinite reservoir of power. He's just as fresh and new as He ever was. God is not an old God. You know, He's not old. You ever think about that? We get the idea, He's been around for billions, you know, billions and billions of years. Well, He was around before that. But He's not the least bit old. The heavens will wax old like a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. He's just as fresh and new and full of strength as He ever was, and He's willing to give some of that strength to us. This is an amazing thing. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. Isn't that something? His power has no boundaries known unto man. It has no boundaries, period. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. So that brings me to the third point, and that is the certainty of God's provision of strength for all who will wait on Him. It's hard to believe sometimes how slow we are to wait upon the Lord. But what's He say here in verse 31? Those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. This is a certainty. It's a promise. God will not leave anybody who waits upon Him in a state of weakness and languishing. He's promised that He won't do it. He will refresh and empower our souls. He'll renew our strength. And beloved, that speaks of an inflow from the outside. Verse 29, He gives strength to the weary. And to him who lacks might, He increases power. My wife and I were talking about Spurgeon on the way down. I remembered what one fellow preacher said. He said, well, that guy had a river running through him. He had a river. I mean, you see, when you see the things that he accomplished and what he did in 1 week's time, what is that? That's a divine inflow of power. Strengthened with power by his Spirit in the inner man. What a glorious thing this is. Well, how does all this come about? It comes about, verse 31, those who wait upon the Lord. In other words, conscious, expectant, dependency, and looking to him and seeking his face. Now, the theme of this conference is seeking God. Psalm 105 says this, "Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore," continually. Seek his face. In other words, it's right to ask God for his strength. It's right during these days, are you worn out spiritually? Maybe there's nobody here like that. You're just full of power and, you know. But if you feel like you need some inflow from the outside, this is a real good time to wait upon God. I mean, not just talking and everything, filling up every moment, but going and waiting upon God in your heart and your soul, asking him, "Lord, I need strength. I need help from heaven. I need an influx of life and power." Elijah, you remember, got so worn out, he wanted to die. It's enough, Lord, let me die. You know, I'm not better than my fathers. Just let me die. What was God's remedy? Well, he gave him a good sleep. In fact, two good sleeps and a good meal. In fact, two good meals. He got him rested up and got him to draw back a little bit and take some time alone with God. What are you doing here, Elijah? You know, sometimes it can help a lot just to get back and look and say, how did I get here to where I am? What's happening in my life? What's God doing? What's the next thing? You can kind of get on a treadmill. A lot of times we live our lives inside of this little tunnel about 90% of the time. You draw back and say, what are you doing here, Elijah? What's going on? Get him to talk about it. It's right to have special seasons and extended times to seek the Lord and wait upon the Lord. But it isn't just for conferences. This is something that we can and must have special times of waiting upon God, even if it's just for an hour or two, throughout the course of our lives, wherever we are. Hebrews 4:16. "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Now, how does that work? Well, here you are in a time of need. And in a time of need, you don't feel like praying, and you don't feel like you've got any faith, and the devil's telling you it's not going to do any good to pray anyway. And whenever you think about praying, there's this cloud that's about that far off the ground that's pushing down on your head. And God said that if we'll come boldly to the throne of grace, not justice, because you don't need justice at that time, you need grace. And there is a king on the throne dispensing grace to God's children. And he said, it's a promise, if you'll come to me, come with confidence, come with boldness because of the blood of Jesus. Come to him, and lo and behold, you're going to come away with, you're going to obtain mercy, and you're going to come away with some grace to help you in that time of need. And so you start praying, even though you don't feel like it. In a little while, those clouds begin to go away, and you begin to realize God's really real, and he's really there, and he begins to put strength in your soul, and in a little while, you're shouting and praising God. What happened? He gave strength to the weary. What happened? You waited upon God. It's a promise. Haven't you found it countless times that when you wait upon the Lord, you'll find your strength renewed? And isn't this amazing? They shall mount up with wings like eagles. Boy, you don't feel like that when you first begin to wait on God. You don't even think you can. What? You stumble badly. Can't even walk. You can't even stagger along. The next thing you know, you're soaring above the clouds. What is that? He just gave you a little bit of strength from the outside. Beloved, we've got to have it. We've got to have God's strength. We cannot do it ourselves. And so what better time, while we're here the next two or three days, what better time to wait upon God consciously? In conscious dependence, waiting. Say, Lord, grant me fresh influx of divine life and power that I might be able to live for You. And go on to the next step, whatever it is You have for me. That's all I have for this evening. May the Lord help us to wait upon Him in these days.